Living Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address lsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 to verse 25 will be our direct focus at this point before we move on. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Now, before we commence the application that we need to draw here, just come quickly to Matthew 19 as well, so that we'll take all of them in one breath and then we can commence our study. Matthew chapter 19. The Pharisees, in verse 3, also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" And he answered and said to them, "Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder.'" I will want to stop at that verse 6. Whereas verse 7, 8, 9, 10 is very important and it gave further insight. But verse 4, 5, and 6 is sufficient to set for us the precepts that we are looking for in becoming one flesh in order to maximize our marriages. In the first instance, I would like you to know that as Jesus noted, he who made them in the beginning, how did he make them? He made them male and female. And he said, if you carry King James, like I carry, Matthew chapter 19, King James, and he answered and said to them, have you not read, comma, that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Is it full stop? What did you find there? Comma, and said, that emphasis that Jesus Christ brought, we cannot overlook it if we are going to honestly maximize the marriage. That God, even at the beginning, he did not make them duplicates. They were not duplicates. The wife was not made to duplicate what the husband can do. God was not bringing a duplicate. If it was a duplicate, what it will mean is that they will have the same features. And if they are just duplicates, what will happen is that there will be repetition, there will be competition. Because they are the same. It was not sameness that will bring becoming one flesh. Becoming one flesh is not because your wife has become like you in terms of everything that you are. That was not God's intention. So even as we are talking about maximizing our marriage, in becoming one flesh, never you dream that a time will come when your wife will be operating like a male. If she changes from being the female and begins to operate like a male, she has lost her relevance in your life. And she has lost her ministry in your life. And she has lost that which is uniquely endowed in her to make you complete. So, brother, may I say to you that what you look for in becoming one flesh is not a conquering or a conversion of the female to become another male. As a wife, don't ever dream that you become one flesh Because your husband has now become like a woman. If that is what you are looking for, you will damage him. You will have destroyed him. You will have reduced him to a level of impotence. So what exactly is the first thing I want to say in maximizing your marriage by becoming one flesh? I want you to respect the uniqueness of the female and the uniqueness of the male. Permit me to quickly establish that when he said they are no more two, but they have become one, the fact that they are no more two and they have become one does not remove the female and male component, and it will not remove it. So how do I maximize my marriage? I maximize my marriage by deliberately enhancing the femaleness of my wife. Let her be the female. Let her be the best and the highest of the female. As a wife, how do you maximize your marriage? You will find your marriage coming to its highest when your husband, when you help your husband to be the man that he was meant to be. The features, the qualities, the inner capacities and potentials of a man, of manhood. You need to labor to help him achieve it. The more your husband is a man, the more he's a male, the kind of male that God wanted, the better for your marriage. The more your wife becomes more and more the woman, the better your marriage, and the greater will be your output. I need to first note that. I need to note that because you may misunderstand the fact that when God is saying there are no more two, they must become one. Oneness is an erosion of the unique features of your wife and of the unique features of your husband. If you think like that, you will not make most of your marriage. And this is a very delicate issue. And Jesus Christ had to address it. Why did he address it? It appears as if majorly, what makes husband and wife to find reasons for quarreling is that they have failed to recognize that he who made them at the beginning, how did he make them? Male and female. And that it was not by mistake. Your wife is not a woman by mistake. It was by design. Her perspective as a woman, her way of seeing things as a woman, her contribution as a woman, approach to things, approach to life as a woman is deliberately intended by God in order for you to become complete. Don't struggle to conquer that. Don't struggle to convert that. Sincerely, I am sensing this morning, I will engage and employ all husbands to please get on your knees and say, Father, help me to enhance the woman you gave me. Help me, oh God, to recognize the uniqueness of womanhood that is absent with me, so that all she could be, all that God has put in her for me, may come out and none wasted. And as a woman, you will pray, Lord, let me never insist that my husband will be less than the man he ought to be. Let my husband not be less than the man you designed and desired him to be. He must arrive at that height as the man. This will take the two of you to really, really engage and say, God, what we are looking for is not an erosion of the peculiarities of what you made. What we are looking for is an enhancement of it, a growth of it, a development of it, a sharpening of it. If you sharpen the manliness of your husband and he becomes the kind of man that Christ is longing for, oh my God, you will have brought that man to where he ought to be for God. And if you labor to ensure, to enhance, to develop the womanhood that God deliberately brought into your life in your wife, you will be doing something that will make your marriage and your life great than you are ever thinking. So when they came complaining, he said, no, you have made a mistake. He that made them in the beginning, what did he do? He made them male and female, and said, there was a word that God added, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become what? One flesh. I want to pray with you that the what look like the difference, what looks like the diversity of the woman and of the man will never be the reason for your contest. It must be the reason for your cleaving. Did you hear me? Eh? The woman that she is, which no matter how you struggle, if you struggle to change that, you are, how do I put it? If you got a radio or you got a material that was made to be run, it was designed to be run, and something in your head says, I don't want a round figure here. I want it to be flat and four corner. What are you going to do to make a round object to become four corner? Talk to me quickly. Eh? You will start hitting it, Abby. By the time you finish, are you going to get a perfect four corner object? Talk to me quickly. What have you done to the round object? You have destroyed and disfigured it. And what you wanted to get, you can't get, because it was not originally designed to be four corner. One of the greatest wastages that God is dealing with is to struggle to disfigure, to disrupt, and to disorganize what God had put together in your spouse. What you finally get is a disfigured man who has lost his bearing and who can never balance again. So I want you to please do one thing for me just now. You will please tell your husband, by the grace of God, I will labor with you to enhance the man God wants you to be. Can you talk to him? I will no longer struggle to convert you to something I am dreaming about. Please tell him. I'm talking seriously this morning. And what husband, can you please tell your wife as tenderly as you can to say, honestly speaking, I will not tamper with the woman God wants you to be. I will not bend you differently. Pray that God will give me wisdom to be able to understand who you are. This is very important. What has become rifts and difficult junctions in many relationships is simply because the other one wants to have his way. The husband said, if you don't see it the way I see it, there's nothing there. And I want to tell you, there is no way she can see the way a man sees. She is not made to see as a man sees. She's made to see things from the woman's perspective, which you lack. If, may God help me to tell you that, even though you have two eyes, on your head as a man. Your two eyes is equal to only one eye, one perspective. The second eye that ought to bring a balance to every issue you see is where? I'm not hearing you. Where is it? It's in the wife. What you have seen as a man, as good as it is to your eyes, is an incomplete perception. For you to have a complete and a balanced perception and perspective over that matter, you need your second eye. And where is that second eye? I'm not hearing you. It's with your wife. So you see, when they were talking about, they must discuss, they must agree. I just felt that God needed to help you to understand that we are not talking about such ordinary things. The reality of the matter is that the way God designed it, you need that second eye for what you are seeing to be complete. And madam, I want you to know that you have good eyes. But your eyes, everything you have seen is only a one-eye perspective. If we depend only on your eye, something will not be correct. Something will not be complete. So when we talk about becoming one flesh, may I quickly establish that by design, by the way God decided to do it, it will honestly be impossible for you to operate without each other, because you have one eye. The second eye that gives you the balance is not on your head. Where is it? It's in your wife. Madam, no matter what you have seen, it may look good, but I wish you will know that you need that other bigger eye, which is located in your husband, to help you see it. Then everything comes together. So when he said, he who made them at the beginning, it was not a mistake. It was not sin. It was not rebellion. It was not disobedience. No. It was God's design. And if we are going to maximize our marriage, we just need to know that to maximize our marriage, to maximize our potentials, is that every component that is needed for completion has been located that way. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And he said, for this cause. That means there is a very important reason why you must become one. That's a very critical, indispensable reason why you have to leave father and mother and cleave to your wife, and the two of you shall become what? One flesh. And God said, so there are no more two, they are one flesh. I'm not yet coming to talking about what God has joined together. We will need to understand that together so that maximizing our marriages will be something that you will push from this afternoon in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you will allow me to move from that Matthew 19, I will come back on it and get back to the Genesis that the master referred to. It's not that I want to repeat all that you have been talking about, both in the seminars and in the Bible study. That's not what I intend to do. I just want to draw some quick issues in the matter of becoming one flesh in order to maximize your marriage and fulfill the purpose of God. The first matter that I thought I should again bring out, you see it in that verse 21. Verse 21 and verse 22. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. That, as simple as we have read it, every time I have come over and over and over again, even now, I have been overwhelmed with the wisdom of God. What is the wisdom of God? For a woman to be relevant in the life of a man, for a woman to find space in the life of a man, God took something out of him. God took, let me just note, he took a rib. If you don't think I'm just talking of bones, I'm not talking of bones. I want you to understand that something, God took something out. And maybe if God did not close it up, many of us, we would have woken up every day recognizing our need. One of the reasons why becoming one flesh is very slow to dawn on many men is that they have a faulty impression that they are complete. They have a faulty or an inadequate understanding that they are complete. Why do they have that? Because God covered the loophole with the flesh. So when he's moving like this, you think that's a complete man going. When he stands up and he doesn't stand like this, because you can't see the hole from afar, everybody think that this man has no need. And even himself, because he cannot see the scar, everything looks covered. He never felt that there's something I am needing, something that I miss, something that has to be brought back to me. And so many brothers erroneously think that they are complete on their own, and that they can finish whatever they started by themselves. And they walk like that. even when you are asking them to love their wives, they just think that to love their wife, are you hearing me? That is that they are doing her what? A favor. And that actually they don't really need her. They are just helping her and they expect that if I love you, you should serve me in return because I'm just being benevolent to help you. That quiet misunderstanding was coming because not many men have realized there is something they needed so far, so seriously, that is not here anymore. But God covered it so that every Dick and Harry will not see it, and all the vultures will not capitalize on your vulnerability and come and perch. But the fact that God covered it with flesh, does that mean the rib has not been taken away? Brothers and sisters, may I note with you the matter of becoming one flesh with your wife is not cosmetic. It is necessary. It is mandatory. I use the word necessary, mandatory. Maybe I should have said compulsory. Friends, if you are going to be the man that God wants you to be, it is a necessity for you to leave everything else and cleave to this woman. Please hear me very well. It is because by God's grace, something that you do not have is the reason why God has constructed her. You will understand it by and by in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm talking with you this morning, not like, and they just say, I should love my wife. I want you to see, because God said, for this cause, there's a cause, there's a reason. There is a reason why you must do so. I pray that it will dawn on you as a man, as it is dawning on me, that there's a reason. It's not just that I have been exhorted to do it. It's not just that it is nice to do it. It is not just that, well, you will be a good Christian to do it. No, sir. It is a necessity. There's a cause for it. If you don't, something will be missing and something will make you miss out. If there is no cause, you see, every time I've read that scripture and it says, for this cause, I say, God, it means then that bonding with my wife is not optional for me. It may come to you as an exhortation, husband, love your wife. Leave your father and mother and cleave to your wife. It may come to you like that as an exhortation because they did not remember to put the word therefore. we miss the because, the reason, the cause, the necessity, we might not approach this matter with all the seriousness it demands. And as anyone who is desiring to fulfill God's purpose, this is critical. Praise the Lord. For this cause, for which cause? For which cause? For which cause must you cleave to your wife and become one flesh? For which cause? The first cause I'm seeing is that what God used to make the woman is that which is deficient, absent, missing in you. You have an intrinsic need that no one else can fit in, except the one that was designed and tailor-made to carry it. This will come to you by revelation, I pray. I pray that my brothers, as husband, I talk to you first before I will talk to your wife now. I just want to talk to you first. I want God to open your eyes. I want God to help you see the compelling reason why you must not let this woman go. I want the Lord to open your eyes to see the compelling reason why, even if she's misbehaving, even if she decided to be naughty, I'm using wrong words, it is not enough for you to let go. Even if she seems to be so sluggish, the trouble is that something that is of you, that you need in life, is locked up in her. It must be released. It must be brought forth. You'll be unfortunate for what, oh my God, I don't know how to express it, but I have seen things that have happened physically that always death showed me something. Can I tell you one thing? We got ready to travel one day in the car. Everything was packed. We are ready. Only for us to want to now sit in the car to start moving. My wife said, where is the key? Where is the key to the car? I said, I thought it used to be in this pigeonhole. We went through all pigeonholes. We did not find it. We went ransacking everywhere. Do you know the problem? If there was a duplicate, what should we have done? So let's just take the duplicate and go. But the duplicate also is not there. So we started checking. Who drove the car last? Which brother drove the car last? So we started checking. Mommy, do you remember that suddenly we realized that Brother Femi drove the car last? And because the way this particular car, the key just need to be either in the car or in the body of a driver for it to start. Are you understanding? So when he parked the car, the key was in his pocket. Are you getting me? Then brother left and went back to his own house, not knowing that the key is in his pocket. Could we move? Can I ignore Brother Femi that day? Why did I need to go and look for Femi that day? He has the key. When you lose a key that has no duplicate, you are compelled to do what? To run after whosoever is holding it. I started saying some things since you came. I said, one thing that you must not forget is that your wife has no alternative in your becoming what God wants you to be. No alternative. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, because what you need to fulfill your destiny is located in her. She may look unkempt, she may appear unready, but something of you is in her, and it must be collected. When you pray with passion with your wife and for your wife, honestly speaking, for whom are you praying? You are just praying for yourself. If you love your wife to such an extent that everything that she is carrying, which is your own, is freely released into your life, for whom are you laboring? Talk to me, please. Is that not the Bible? Say, whosoever loves his wife does what? Just loves himself. No man has ever yet hated himself except he's a madman. Any brother who has any reason, they say, go away, wherever you are going, go away. I see a brother who is using his left hand to throw away the key that you will need to move in life. There's a cause. When we finish this meeting this afternoon, and I'm going to send you to be alone with God together again, honestly speaking, whatever was the matter, whatever used to be a quarrel, they are very, very small compared with what is the weight and gravity of your oneness. God will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, he said, for this cause, there's a cause. And that cause, as a reason for cleaving, far, far, far outweighs every other reason to separate. Praise the Lord. He said, and the rib that God took from the man made he into a woman. And when the man spoke, he said, this is the bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She will be called woman because she's taken out of man. May God give you that revelation. May the Holy Spirit do something this afternoon that will be a permanent solution, so that you can make the most of this marriage. Your blessing is in that. Now, what do I tell the wives? What do I need to say to the wife at this point? What is the reason why you cannot pull away? If I will not be rude, I would like to say that you had no business being alive. There was no reason for you to have been born except for this purpose. Please hear me. soon as God determined that you are going to be a female, a woman, right from that beginning, God already had in mind.